Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Hey, Doug.
And I'm Joe Scott, and I'm with him.
All right.
You guys are pointing up. You're with the Lord.
Joe, yes.
That's really good. I'm
very
with him.
Very good, Joe. I like that.
I don't know if anybody in the audience has figured that out.
Maybe they
over the last 6 weeks.
No, maybe not.
Hey, so, guys, yesterday we had this call from a trucker in Arkansas who unfortunately saw something really despicable
by
a TV news director down there. And so, Doug, I thought we'd do a brief update on that.
Yeah.
I'd like us to re-air the phone call when you and I called in.
We called the newsroom.
The newsroom.
With a news flash.
With a I meant
breaking news.
No, it is disgusting. And maybe if you don't laugh about it, you're going to cry.
Yes.
But it's filthy, wicked, perverse, and it's just gross.
And what's bothering me is that no one in greater northwestern Arkansas seems to be interested in this story.
The media pretty much wants to give a homosexual pervert a pass. Now, he's in the media and he's a homosexual. If it was an elder at a Baptist church, it would be front page news. But so
everywhere, not just in
northwest Arkansas. But so far, the media doesn't seem to care. So let's call in. And the gal, Doug, that you and I talked to, talked to in the newsroom, Robin, she's telling people as of today that this is just a rumor. It's not true. And she had never heard of it before. Right? People call in today. Somebody called and said, have you ever heard of this? No, I never heard of this.
Well, by definition, if it's a rumor, then she wouldn't know if it was true or not because it'd be a rumor.
Because it'd be a rumor. But she would have heard of it when you and I called her yesterday.
She would have heard of it.
She said no. She hadn't heard the story. Then she said it's a rumor.
Oh, so she's telling other people. After we called, she's telling other people who called that it's
I never heard of that before. All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Hi, this is Bob Benyart out of Denver, Colorado on AM 670 KLTT. And I know we're quite a ways from you guys, but we want to call in a story there in northwest Arkansas.
We have a news alert.
Okay.
What's your name?
My name's Robin.
Thank you, Robin. At a truck stop about 10 miles south of you guys, there was a public sex act.
A crime.
A crime. Yeah. A man committing a sex act in front of other people.
A lewd and lascivious act in public.
The police have picked up the guy who committed the act. He has plea bargained just yesterday, but it was Michael Corrington, your news director, Robin. So we wanted to know if you guys would be looking into the story.
Is it going to be
for real?
Yeah, for real. Is it going to be on your 10 o'clock report, 10:30? Maybe for tomorrow morning, you might want to get a little background.
By the way,
do you know who Michael Corrington is?
Yeah.
I think he's the news director.
I believe he's the news director at your station.
And by the way, we're on AM 670 KLTT in Denver.
Please.
50,000 watt
Please
afternoon.
Check us out. Your station is famous in Denver. You are on the radio today because we talked about your news director getting busted for exposing himself and soliciting various deviant acts there at a truck stop outside of Fayetteville. And you're saying that the newsroom's not aware of that?
No.
Is this the first you're hearing of it?
Yeah.
Is it something you could check the facts on?
How about this? What if we give you the name of the reporting witness who saw the crime and called 911, and when he reported Michael Currington's license plate number, the police said, we've got this video. There had been previous accusations, Doug, against
him. Sounds like he's a real creep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the complaining witness.
Local citizen there who watches your station.
He's a truck driver out of Arkansas. He was at a truck stop, like I said, about 10 miles south of where you guys are located.
Now, he was just minding his business. He wasn't looking for any trouble.
No.
And then Michael Corrington.
Well,
I don't even want to go into what he did because it's just disgusting.
Well, how about this? How about we give you our phone number here in Denver, and if you have a news producer who'd like to follow up, we'll get you in touch with the complaining witness.
Okay.
All right. Our number here, 1-800-8-NYART, That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278.
Who do I ask for?
Thank you, Robin. Doug McBurney, my co-host. Doug, did I have your name right?
Doug McBurney. Yeah, Doug, just like it sounds.
Doug McBurney or Bob Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T.
I think this is something that Arkansas should be aware of.
Yeah. Hey, thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
All right, Doug. So that was Robin in the newsroom. And now let's go to the trucker who was sadly the witness to this crime, Robbie from Arkansas. Robbie, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. I wanted to first say, if we learn nothing else from this, we can all learn that the five-second rule does not apply within 100 yards of a truck stop. Drop it on the ground, leave it.
All right.
Oh, man.
All right. All right.
Robbie, you're worse than I am.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
Yeah. So if you drop your gum, leave it.
Right, drop it.
Okay. So, hey, Robbie, we have contacted a number of local Arkansas media outlets, and we have told them that we have contact information for the complaining witness who was subpoenaed by the police to testify against the news director, Mike Corrington. How many Arkansas media outlets have contacted you to follow up?
Well, I just verified my phone had been on all day, and there are no missed calls.
No missed calls. So
and no calls I've taken either.
So in 24 hours, no local media is interested in the story so far.
Or statewide media.
Or statewide media.
Correct.
Yeah. Out of Little Rock, Fayetteville, Bentonville.
Well,
Walmartville. Yeah. Walmartville is down there.
Well, let's be clear. We didn't expect them to set up a Camp OJ in front of Robbie's house or anything. But
but at least a call. A follow-up.
To find out if someone was slandering Mr. Corrington.
Right.
You know, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, they would want to at least make sure that it wasn't a mistaken identity, I would think.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, Robbie, will you keep us informed?
I will, and thank you very much for your help.
You're very welcome.
You, Robbie. I hope you get some therapy.
Yeah,
I need it. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Now, Doug, you asked Joe Scott to come in the studio today because Joe Scott with Pro-Life Colorado. Joe, every year after year, you and Colorado Right to Life organize a protest at the Komen Race for the Cure in Denver because of the link between abortion and breast cancer, the dramatic increase all over the world. Year after year, when nations legalize abortion, the breast cancer rates skyrocket for women under childbearing age when they legalize abortion.
Yes.
In other words, a woman who is postmenopausal, when they legalize abortion, she's not going to experience part of this epidemic of breast cancer rate explosion.
Right.
Because she's not going to have an abortion.
That's right.
But all the women say 40 years and younger, when a nation legalizes abortion, they suffer the breast cancer epidemic.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
So you go there every year and you've invited me as the pastor at Denver Bible Church, and I've gone a few years now. So what did you think of this year's protest?
Well, thanks for coming, Bob, for all these years that you have been coming down there, first of all. And this year's protest, I think, was the most effective protest we've had. We had a huge banner with the quote from Dana Brandoff.
With the Komen Foundation saying, we're not interested in preventing breast cancer, we're interested in the cure.
Right.
And how did we get that quote from her?
Well, because we've protested every year for so many years, Komen called Colorado Right to Life and asked for
a meeting.
So we met with them.
Met with them, recorded the meeting, and it had pro-life activists from Pro-Life Colorado, your group,
yep.
Colorado Right to Life, and it had scientists. It had Dr. Joel Brind, who was at the National Cancer Institute meeting on breast cancer and abortion, the conference. And it had a former Komen medical researcher.
Eve Sanchez Silver.
Eve Silver, who had resigned from Komen and her position when she realized the link between abortion and breast cancer was so overwhelmingly clear. And they continue to fund Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, when she confronted them with all the information she had, they would not drop their funding. So she left.
So you had the quote from that meeting.
Right.
And what a powerful quote that is. And a massive sign, another huge sign, two signs together, abortion increases breast cancer risk 40%.
Right.
And then a huge truck with a sign on the side of the truck.
Breast cancer's most avoidable risk, abortion.
Breast cancer's most avoidable risk, abortion. And then press releases being sent out from Colorado Right to Life, handed out to people. About 60,000 women go by Spear Boulevard going north on both the north and south lanes, a divided road.
Right.
And we have people on both sides with signs and talking to the crowd and handing out literature.
It was fabulous this year. It really was. There was no one that did not see those signs.
How many times do you get to address, Doug McBurney, 60,000 people on the issue that they're gathered for and present to them the true perspective of something they're totally unaware of?
Yeah, how often?
Yeah.
Only when you're hanging out with Joe Scott.
That's
like once or twice a year.
That's awesome. Right. Yeah, it is awesome.
That's
so thank
phenomenal.
You, Joe Scott.
I just watched Joel Brind's video on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search Joel Brind. Just
B-R-I-N-D.
B-R-I-N-D.
Joel, B-R-I-N-D.
Awesome.
All right, let's take a call, Doug. Where are we? We were just in Arkansas. Now, let's see. Where should we go?
We're going to, let's go to Fort Wayne on line 16.
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Chris.
Yeah.
Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris, welcome to Bob and Your Live.
How are you doing, Bob?
Doing real well, Pastor. What's up?
Well, I'd like to tell you that I have watched you on TV since I was 17 years old.
Wow.
In Angola, Indiana. You used to be on the South Bend station.
And Pastor, I don't want you to say how old you are now because you'll make me feel old. So, well, what an honor. So we are old friends. Have we ever talked before?
Have we? No. I've tried to call before, but I couldn't get hooked up.
Couldn't get through. And so, Pastor Chris, even though we've never talked before, I feel like we're old friends because you've watched the show and we're in the Lord, Christians. So what's up?
Well, see, today I can't watch. There's no network over here that runs you. The only way that I can hear you now is I listen to the streams on your website.
Super at KGov, KGOV.com.
That's right. Okay, my question is, the other day I was doing some study on the internet over the Westboro Baptist Church.
The Westboro Baptist Church. That's a Fred Phelps and crew.
That's right.
That whole church is his family. But go ahead.
I thought it was a larger organization. I'm not going to say it's a mega church or anything. But yeah, basically, what you're seeing on the news is his family.
Well, that's his church. His church is his family.
His church and his family all are on the same block. They all live around there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They live there. The church is there. The family are the church members. He's the pastor. He's the father and the grandfather. But go ahead.
Okay. Now, like I said, I've listened to you for many years. And you've been out now accused of being homophobic.
Oh,
I think Bob's actually confessed to being homophobic, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I have confessed.
Yeah.
Homophobic. For example, I'm afraid to have a homosexual coach my boys in wrestling, for example.
That would make me afraid.
I'm afraid to have a practicing homosexual donate blood that will go to one of my loved ones.
That's for sure.
For example, I'm afraid of the homosexual agenda making it impossible for Christians working in a major corporation to just say that they're Christian and they believe homosexuality is wrong.
And by the way, Bob, I just want to thank you because in 1995, I was able to come out of the closet as a homophobe due to your teaching and your influence. And I thank you very much. I told my family, I told my friends, and they love me and they accept me.
They accept you even though you were born that way.
Understand. I was born that way.
So, Chris, some of us were born homophobic, and we think we should be accepted and tolerated and celebrated.
Well, my purpose of call wasn't, I'm not going to smash you over whether or not you're homophobic.
All right.
technically, if somebody tells me, it doesn't bother me. My call was over, what is your take on them? Because what you do versus what they do is different.
I'll give you a difference. We lead homosexuals to the Lord. They say homosexuals are damned, and and that homosexuals will only go to hell, and that God only hates homosexuals.
Right.
We point out that Jesus Christ died for the Roman Empire, which was loaded with homosexuals. I mean, the Lesbos Islands, they didn't come from a volcano after the New Testament, did they? Chris, for example, we do have a DVD, which is just one example of Terry's call from Johnstown, Tennessee. Do I have that right, Johnstown? And he became a believer after calling into the show. My wife and I put some money together, gave him money to come out to Denver, Colorado, and he got saved, and he's now with the Lord because he had advanced AIDS when he first called us.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so we love homosexuals enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And homosexuals are not the only ones guilty of disgusting, despicable perversion.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I'll tell you what. I am significantly overweight. And, I mean, looking in the mirror can disgust me. Mm-hmm. And another thing is...
Well, yeah. But now, Chris, that's different, right? For example, let me give you an example of a different sin. Child pornographers. Okay,
yeah.
Think about child pornographers. People who take video of people violating children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's disgusting, right?
Well, the reason why I was thinking about obesity was not so much if you look in the mirror, you're going to gross yourself out. Obesity is a problem in two ways. One, you can die.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as people who are 500 pounds and over that live much past 35.
Yeah, right. Extreme obesity is especially challenging to longevity.
And then secondly, you're actually allowing a physical thing come in between you and God.
Well, and that's possible. Now, some people, Chris, our genetics are breaking down, you know? And some people, I have friends who are as thin as a rail, who eat anything they want whenever they want, and they're always as thin as a rail. They have great metabolism. I have other friends who starve themselves on diets for 30 years, and they're always fat.
Yeah, that's where I am.
And it's metabolism. Our bodies don't work the way they do. It doesn't mean fat people never overeat and they can't be guilty of gluttony, but the world is breaking down. It's not evolving and getting better. But it seems like you wanted to equate being overweight to being a homosexual perversion.
I'm looking at it from the standpoint of danger to yourself.
And to the community.
Right. In the Bible,
right.
When it talked about homosexuality being it was saying it's a sin against your own body.
Yeah.
It's a sin against not only God.
Well, that's not homosexuality. That's sexual immorality in general.
Right.
Hey, Chris, sexual immorality, forget homos for a moment. Sexual immorality is like the nuclear weapon of the forces of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual immorality. Overeating is not even a hand grenade. Overeating is a problem for a lot of people. But overeating doesn't take a nation and turn it with wrath and vengeance against its own children to get them to be sexually immoral and become rebellious against God.
Yeah.
So sexual immorality is one of the sins that destroy nations from within.
I think that sexual sin was the most widely discussed law in the entire Bible.
Well, sure, because, Satan likes to destroy people. But he prefers for them to destroy themselves.
Yeah.
So if Satan could have a whole nation destroyed with a bomb, he would like that. But 1,000 times over, he would prefer that they destroy themselves from within by destroying their own marriages, families, and their own kids by feeding them sexual immorality.
Now,
at the CW Network.
I'd like to ask
in Arkansas.
You not only, how should we take... that movement that's going on in the Westboro. But for me, I just take it as background noise.
Well, now, Chris, Fred Phelps and his family, they protest everybody. We are the only group in the world who protested him.
That's right.
We protested him. Joe Scott, you were there.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. We protested Westboro Baptist Church outside of their church.
Outside of their church.
On their block.
On their block.
Where all their families live.
And, for example, Chris, Fred Phelps has a daughter who lives right there. And she, Joe Scott, in a moment, will tell you her tragedy with her kids and them not being welcome in their father's church, which
You mean to tell me that they have never had, like, a militant gay pride?
Not that we know of.
Over at their church?
Not that we know of. But, hey, Chris, Fred Phelps' family has mental illness within the family. And that's understandable. Not only do they have bad theology, but you mix bad theology with mental illness, and you know what you get? You get Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
That's what you get, theology and mental illness. And so, Joe, how about her kids, Fred Phelps' grandkids?
Well, while we were protesting at the church, Fred Phelps' oldest daughter drove up. And if you ever met a broken, sad woman in your life, she would be... And that's not being derogatory. That's being truthful. My heart went out to this woman.
Joe, I had her in studio some years back, and it was stunning and shocking. And I tried my best to reach out to them and show them how broken they were.
Right.
But go ahead.
She has two autistic sons, and that's by her family considered cursed, and she's not allowed to go into the church. Yet she's driving by the church and sitting out there telling me that the church starts whenever they decide. It doesn't have a regular time. But she watches them go in, and she wishes she could be there, but she's sorry.
So she can't go in because her children are cursed by God because they're autistic.
Right.
That's how sick and perverted. But anyway, right. If Fred Phelps didn't exist, the liberals would invent him. Chris, but Chris, what does he have to do with your obligation before God to reach homosexuals with the gospel?
Well, see, I've been involved with ministry ever since I was 13. And I had a heart for homosexuals because, unfortunately, I was one of those kids that went through middle school and high school. And over here in the Midwest, you will get called gay over anything and everything.
Well, not if you're on the front four and you just beat the other team, 28-0.
Well, no,
but you'll be called gay if you do something a little sissified.
This was over the build that I had. I mean,
okay, all right. So you're saying they called you gay for whatever reason?
Yeah,
because you were overweight.
No, actually, when I was a teenager, I was extremely thin. I was tall. And for some reason, they just thought that that was soft.
All right. So, Chris, can we go more quickly? So when you were growing up, people called you gay. You didn't like it. But does that mean now that you hesitate to warn homosexuals of what perverts they are and that they're headed to hell?
Actually, what it did was it gave me a heart to reach out to homosexuals and try to minister to them.
Well, that's good. And you...
Well, I think what Bob just described was ministering to homosexuals, warning them that they're headed for hell, that their behavior is self-destructive for them and their family and their community. That's witnessing. That's
right.
Ministering.
Yeah. And those that are homosexual don't care about being called gay. They call themselves gay. It's not an insult to them as it was to you.
Chris, you realize that being called gay was an insult, right?
It was very problematic all the way through.
Well, you realize it's an insult, right? They weren't telling you you were the king. They were insulting you. And you intuitively recognize that being called a homosexual is an insult.
Yeah.
Like even today, when we call this news director in Arkansas a homosexual, Doug, people will say, how dare you say that about them? Even liberals will say, how dare you say that? And so even liberals know that being called a homosexual is an insult.
Yeah, intuitively they know that.
They know that.
I always took it as with liberals, being called gay is actually the in thing.
And it could be. Now, Chris, I want to get to the, let's cut to the chase here. What do you do to minister to homosexuals?
What do I do? Well, again, here in the Midwest, or this particular part of in the Northeast Indiana, we have in my age group.
We have 1 minute left, Chris. Your age group will be older by the time we get to the end of the story.
We have a high percentage of homosexuals.
Yeah.
And what I have done is I'm very honest with them. I believe that they need to be, when Jesus was ministering, he was ministering to the sinners and the publicans.
Yeah. Have you ever told them, and Jesus said to them, you are of your father, the devil. You are all evil.
Yeah.
You're whoremongers. So have you told them that they're perverts?
I show them exactly what the Bible says.
All right, that's good.
Because the Bible does talk about homosexuality.
All right, well, we do that too, Chris. So apparently you do something different than we do that you think is important, but you don't want to say it. It's taking 20 minutes.
Actually, I don't really do anything different.
Well, then what's on your mind?
What's on my mind?
Yeah.
Initially, I called about the Fred Phelps Church.
Yeah.
No.
You said that was just noise, and then you wanted to get to your actual point.
No, I didn't have any agenda. I didn't want to.
All right. Now, Joe Scott, you're a pastor that you counseled a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. You warned.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Could you tell that real quick?
Well, he thinks that relationships with people are the most important way to win them to Christ, so he invited a homosexual couple into his home, and they developed a relationship, and they had fellowship. And guess what? He's no longer married, and
ran off with one of the lesbian's friends.
Oh.
Hey, Chris, please hang on so we can talk after we get off the air. Our website is kgov.com. Thank you, Duck McBurney, Joe Scott, Maranatha. What a great school.